10 years ago in North London, Britain's first housing cooperative for women over 50 opened its doors. The Newground Housing Project houses 26 women, almost all of whom previously lived alone. Today, 21 of the original 26 still live at Newground. The youngest resident is 60 and the oldest is 96. The women of Newground have just released a book called Our Later Years, Shared Wisdom on Aging Powerfully Together. It's out in the UK and will be available in Australia in September. The Sunday Times has described Our Later Years as a manifesto, but also a collection of incredible personal stories. Maria Brenton is the UK Co-Housing Network's Senior Co-Housing Ambassador and is one of the founders of the Newground Co-Housing Project. And I'm very pleased to say that Maria joins us from London now. Welcome, Maria.
Hello.
Now, Maria, I wonder if you could tell us how you originally came to the idea of senior co-housing.
Well, the account of it is contained in the very last chapter of the book, actually. I was teaching a master's course at a university on women's studies and specializing on aging. And I got to thinking, well, wondering where all the older women were, because clearly, demographically, they outnumber older men. They live longer. They're poorer, all kinds of issues like that here, at least. So I got thinking, well, have they reached out to each other, done things together, cooperated in living together anywhere in the world? And I got a research grant to visit various countries, America, Canada, Denmark, and Holland. And this was pre the internet, I might add. So the late 1990s. Long story short, I ended up in Holland, where they had established the co-housing model borrowed from where it was invented in Denmark. And there were several hundred, still are, co-housing groups, mixed groups, family groups, etc., and specifically older women's ones. So I went and got another grant and went over to study them, visit them, live with some of them, and find out how they could be translated to our system in the UK.
And that's what led to you placing an ad. I love the wording of it. It said, "Dear women of London, are you aged over 50 and are you already talking about your futures? Would you like to hear how some older women in the Netherlands are living? In residential groups they run themselves, where they have their own private homes but share space where they meet as a group." What happened after you placed that ad, Maria?
Well, I was teaching in Wales at the university at the time, but I placed it in the London area where there would be more groups. I organized a day-long workshop and invited women from those various groups to attend. Groups like Growing Old Disgracefully, the Older Feminist Network, the Older Lesbian Network, etc. And I brought a woman over from one of the Amsterdam co-housing groups to talk to them and showed them a film. And we had a whole day discussing the issue. In this country, it has been for a long time and still is, Friday night boozy supper conversation piece among older women. Why don't we do this and that and, you know, sort out our old age together? Never do anything about it. So a group of the women who were invited to that workshop went off to a pub afterwards and decided to do something about it. And I got more funding and arranged to work with them on the whole project. What we didn't know was that it would take us 18 years before we would move in.
Yeah, so it was a really long road to getting Newground established. But out of that workshop, you did form Older Women's Co-Housing. And I love the acronym OUCH. The book says that the group liked the idea of being a thorn in various people's sides. 18 years is a long time to get to actually moving in. What was it that meant it took so long?
I think it was institutional ageism. Mm-hmm. Very patronizing attitudes to older women, particularly. A tradition of care homes and things where older people should aim for, where they could be done unto, told what to do, etc. And I think the main institutions that were developing housing, so like private developers or charitable bodies, housing associations, were just used to doing to older people, for older people, rather than with. Mm. And the idea of a group's autonomy was foreign to them. Still is. I mean, it's very, very difficult still. I've been working with another group for some years now, and they have just folded. I was part of another group myself for 5 years. That folded. because the housing bodies really couldn't cope with and weren't interested in enabling such a model. Still aren't very interested, to be quite honest.
Another thing that's mentioned in the book, Our Later Years, is the commitment of the Ouch group to social housing. Could you speak to that a little bit?
Yes. The co-housing model in this country is criticised for being very middle class, catering to owner-occupiers, etc., people who can have enough money to buy their own homes. And that's because of the housing system that we have in this country, where renting is a very much a secondary sector. The group, right from the very beginning, wanted to be socially inclusive and not just owners. So they wanted to enable a model where women who didn't have enough money to buy their own houses could rent. And for that, we needed to be part of the system of housing associations where their development money and government grants would fund the construction of those flats, and they would be the landlord forever afterwards. That's the system we had to fit into. And it took years to find a housing association that was willing to do it.
But you got there.
Yeah.
And perhaps now is a good time to actually hear exactly what is the Newground property like? And perhaps you could explain for us also how it's different from, say, a retirement home on the one hand, or on the other hand, a commune.
I guess it hits the middle between those two. The building itself is lovely. We helped design it. We were fortunate enough to find a company of architects who believed in their clients participating in the design. So it is very beautifully age-proofed and built around a lovely, lovely garden that the group has created. The major distinction, though, is not the physical architecture, but the social architecture of the group. Compared with any other old age home, sheltered housing, retirement home, or whatever, the group is distinguished by having invested in a long, long process of community building around a set of agreed values to which everyone was committed, and then using that sense of community to sustain a decision-making apparatus which enabled them to manage the whole place themselves. So there's no external manager. They manage it communally, democratically themselves.
That is an amazing achievement. How does the group deal with differences of opinion?
They get on with it. They accept the range of differences. I mean, they have all committed to essentially a set of values, which is the cement that keeps them together. And there can be a range of differences around that that don't really matter. I mean, they're not perfect. There will be conflicts. They have a conflict resolution policy. They have small groups and large groups that meet a lot and hammer things out. But there is such a, yeah, there's a nice sort of atmosphere there. There is a willingness to compromise where they have to, and an acceptance of a range of differences, which you would find in any group.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Maria Brenton, Senior Co-Housing Ambassador for the UK Co-Housing Network and one of the founders of the Newground Co-Housing Project. Maria, another thing that's mentioned in Our Later Years is that the real, quote, power and magic of Newground is in the communal spaces. Can you give us a sense of what that magic is?
Well, the building is an L shape. There's only one door to come into it. So you see who comes in. And they walk in past what they call a common house, which has windows onto that corridor. So you can see if anything's going on in there. And there could quite likely be a keep fit, a Pilates thing. There could be people in there playing Scrabble, dancing, having a party, or somebody quietly reading. So the whole place is built around ease of social contact. And in a sense, that became a problem when COVID lockdown happened, because you had to keep 2 meters apart from everybody.
Right.
So what they did was go out onto the lawn in the centre and all sat 2 meters apart with wine and nibbles and partied. Or they had a keep fit thing 2 meters apart in the car park. So they adapted. But it was quite difficult in the rest of the building to keep 2 meters apart from people.
Well, it sounds like it was a lot more compliant than Boris Johnson's office.
That's for sure.
Maria, there's a lovely moment in Our Later Years where the group says we've been called trailblazers, rebels, and on one occasion even a feminist utopia, which caused unanimous amusement and protest from us all. It's a lovely collection of stories from the residents of Newground, the book Our Later Years. I wonder if you could tell us some of the stories of the women of Newground.
One of the workshops that I ran fairly early on before we even had the building was on key events in people's lives in various decades. And they had to go around and write up, you know, what happened in that decade that was of note. We had a discussion about it afterwards. And what I remember from that exercise was a group of three women finding common ground in having been refugees. So the oldest member of the group, Heidi Argent, who's now 96, going on 97, was a refugee from Nazi Austria in 1939 when she was 10. And she was talking about that and has been talking about it a lot lately because she's just made a speech in the Viennese Parliament last week at age 96.
Fantastic.
The other two women who are residents in the group are from Iran. And one of them, Lida, read part of her story at the launch of the book last weekend in Newground, which had people shedding tears, to be quite honest. I mean, she ended up very young as a journalist in the Evin jail, being tortured, and was there for 4 years. And ended her reading with us by saying, "Newground is the only place I have ever felt safe to live."
Mm.
Which was a lovely tribute to Newground. And they're the younger end of the spectrum, these two Iranian refugees. And Heidi is at the oldest, at 96. But they have a lot in common because of that experience in their lives. That's just three of the group.
That's lovely. And now, Maria, I do need to ask you the question, which I know you've been asked many times before, but you yourself are not a resident of Newground. Now, why is that?
Two good reasons. One is that I was partnered at the time with my lifelong partner, who was a woman who was a wheelchair user.
Mm.
She died 2 years ago, which made me move out of London.
Mm.
But all her support arrangements were in place where we lived in the southwest of London. And it didn't feel right to move us lock, stock and barrel to North London and a whole set of different circumstances. The second reason was because I had always been apart from the group, enabling it, making contacts for it, making speeches for it, going on the radio for it, talking to politicians about it, etc. And I didn't think my role could easily change into becoming a resident of the group. That they would maybe look to me to take a lead more than I wanted or make decisions or whatever.
Now, you've also told us, Maria, that you've been involved in other groups which have contemplated something similar to Newground, but which don't appear to have come to fruition. The idea of Newground does sound amazing and infectious. Why do you think it hasn't caught on more?
It's partly because of the rigidity of our housing system in this country and also lack of political interest and pressure. If I look at the Netherlands, even when their politics go fairly sort of to the right, their government still believes in a policy of supporting co-housing groups among older people, seeing them as realistically a cheaper alternative than allowing older people to get lonelier and lonelier, more and more isolated, and their health problems being a bigger burden for the state. So the Dutch believe in investing in these housing groups and enabling them to flourish. And I've never managed to get that kind of support from British government.
Hmm.
They're too sort of narrow in their thinking.
The subtitle of the book, Our Later Years, is Shared Wisdom on Aging Powerfully Together. Maria, what wisdom would you share to anyone who might be interested in following in the footsteps of Ouch and Newground?
I think the main thing that I would and do recommend is that social groups that are supportive and nice to live in don't happen just by themselves. They need a conscious process of community building. Otherwise, they don't work. or they raise expectations that disappoint everybody. What the Ouch Group did was work for years and years and years consciously at building social linkages, emotional linkages between themselves, agreeing on values and ways to live, and setting up structures. Very deliberate process of community building. It doesn't just happen by accident. And, you know, I was talking yesterday to a cousin who's recently moved into a retirement place, and she is so lonely. She's desperate. And, you know, the place was started on the wrong basis. It's not just, you know, giving people apartments. It's creating that social structure that makes the place hum and be a pleasant place to live.
Maria Brenton, thank you so much for speaking with us on Sunday Extra.
You're welcome.
And Maria is the UK Co-Housing Network's Senior Co-Housing Ambassador and one of the founders of the Newground Co-Housing in London. The book Our Later Years is written by the women of Newground, and it'll be out in Australia in September.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.